today we will go over some things that happened the moment we believed, trusted, and had faith in the gospel of the grace of God. There's a lot. I found myself digging and finding more and finding more, then I ran out of time to actually, you know, write stuff down. It is amazing how many things happen the instant you actually trusted the gospel. Is that better? Is it the breathing? Mom's rubbing on something over here. Alright. I thought I'd try something we hadn't done in a while. We actually kind of did it on Thursday when we had our Bible study, but I'd like to go over 2 Peter 3. I'll get you guys going over there, and then we'll get started with a word of prayer. But 2 Peter 3. And you kind of keep your finger there as you're moving on over there. Hey, this is pretty good. Isn't it? That's better. This is probably not what I'm doing. I am so sorry. This is brand new mic. Is that enough?
Well, you don't breathe.
Put it out there. Trisha's going to come out here and whack me with a stick here. All right, if everybody's there, start with a word of prayer. Dear Lord, dear God, we love you, and we just want to thank you for the opportunity to sit out here and spend some time in your word, learning more about you and how things operate. We thank you so much for opportunity for like-minded believers to get together. That doesn't happen very often nowadays. So we appreciate the opportunity that Sylvia and I get to spend with you guys. We thank you that your grace provided the avenue that has saved us today, and it was you, Jesus, that enabled that grace when you died on the cross for our sins, your burial, and your resurrection on the third day, which we found out not only justified us, but made us just as righteous as you. And we thank you so much for that. Again, we thank you for the opportunity to discuss and learn a little bit of your words. In your precious name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, with your finger there, I'd like you to go over to 1 Peter 1:1 so we can get a quick down and dirty about who Peter was writing to. I'll give you a little hint. It's not us. But we can definitely glean some stuff out of there. 1 Peter 1:1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Well, Paul's an apostle of Jesus Christ, right? But then he goes a further to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. So he was writing to strangers. Well, those would be the little flock strangers that were in foreign lands. Let's go over to 2 Peter chapter 3. We're going to start verse 1 and 2. And he starts with this and says, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance." So this is the second epistle. He says, "That ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior." Well, that's not a revelation of mystery material. He's definitely speaking to a different group of people. We can all agree on that, those of us that understand the revelation of mystery. But we get to 2 Peter 3. I'm going to start with 14. I think I'm going to go through 17. But the big stuff is in 15 and 16. "Wherefore, beloved," this is Peter writing again to those strangers, "seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found in him in peace, without spot and blameless." This kind of rings with the endure till the end. Everybody down with that? 15, "On account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation." And he is long suffering today. He has been waiting until that last Gentile will come in for nearly 2,000 years. I would say that's long-suffering. How about you guys? If it were me up there, I would have came down and and started squishing some bugs. And I probably would have been one of the bugs that got squished. Think about that. Even as our beloved brother Paul. Now, most people haven't seen this before, that Peter is actually talking about Paul. Does that blow anybody away, or has everybody read this before? Also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. Well, Paul wrote something to these little flock strangers. 16. As also in all his epistles, Romans to Philemon. Now, at this point when he wrote this, I don't think 2 Timothy was done, because obviously the word was finished when you read in Colossians 1 and 25. But he's making a point that also in all his epistles, that would be Paul's epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood. Now, Peter knew by Acts 15, Galatians 2, what Paul's gospel was, because he heard it. They went up there to the conference of Jerusalem, and they had it out. And they made a decision, and there was a handshake, and Peter and the gang went back to those that were under the law, and at the time, Barnabas and Paul handed out to the heathen, or those of the Gentiles. And continuing on with the 16, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, we say twist or distort or pervert, as they do also the other scriptures. Now, we just talked about this, but basically I'll say that he said that Paul's words that he had wrote down in these epistles were scripture. Did you get that? The other scriptures. He's talking about Paul's scripture, and he alludes to the other scriptures when you don't take those things, and whether it be divided correctly or dispensationally put in the right place, these people, and it goes on to say, unto their own destruction. Now, if you've got somebody who goes, you know what, Peter is my apostle, I'd suggest you read this to him and let them come out and say, well, what does that mean when he starts talking about Paul? Sounds to me like he's saying that Paul's the guy. And you need to understand what he wrote in those epistles. Continue on with 17. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Those are some good verses to keep in your back pocket when somebody goes, no, it's all about Peter. That's all I've been taught. I've been taught that for 20, 30 years, and I'm not moving off that. And it's not what Paul wrote, I don't see red letters. Well, I'm taking what Peter wrote at the end of his life, right before he died, and he said, Paul's the guy. Anyways, keep them in your back pocket. Romans 11, 12, and 13. Very familiar verses. We probably all know these by heart. At least 13. Now, with the fall of them, that would be Israel, the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them, that would be Israel again, the riches of the Gentiles, us, how much more their fullness is referring again to Israel. For I speak to ye Gentiles, insomuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office. He didn't say he magnified himself. He said, hey, what's going on, guys? He said he magnified his office. All right, over to Ephesians 3, 1 through 9. Ephesians 3, 1 through 9. Welcome, everybody. Welcome. Ephesians 3, 1 through 9. We're going to look through this pretty quick, and then I'm going to go back to particular verses. I'm trying to set this up before we start going over some of these things that happen to us immediately after we believe, trusted, had faith in the gospel, the grace of God. For this cause, where would the big fellow was at? Come on in. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of grace of God, which is given me to you, and you were the first Gentiles in the previous verse. That's all about us. That's our territory. That by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Kind of sounds familiar, doesn't it, Tony? I've been traipsing in this the last week or two. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual work of his power. Ephesians 3:8. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Oh yeah, unsearchable riches, which we couldn't see before. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. That's our territory right there today. I don't know about you. I don't think we ever heard this when we were in our previous churches. We didn't trace in this area at all. All right, let's go back to verse 2. If you've heard the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, this is the gospel saved today. This is the one that's written over in 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, which we will be covering here shortly. This is what saves us today. It's not water baptism. It's not repentance. It's not believing that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, though he is the Messiah to Israel. That's not what we believe today. Verse 5, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men. That's pretty clear. That was a mystery in the mind of God. He kept it secret until it was revealed to Paul. And it may have been revealed to Saul before he became Paul, but we could debate about that. But definitely Paul was the one that got the message that's currently been available for about 2,000 years. Down to verse 9, you know, I saw this once on an EC video. This has been quite a while, but I don't even know why I was thinking about it now. And he said he'd go around and ask, what's the fellowship of the mystery? Fellowship of the mystery. And he said, my 20, 30 years I've been walking around, Nobody ever answered that question. So let's go read it. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. This will hop up to verse 6. You know what that is? He's going to describe what the fellowship of the mystery is. Now we know it's the revelation of mystery as well, but he puts it here, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body, that being the body of Christ, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Again, 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, we will be getting that. Let's hop over to 2 Timothy 2:15. Everybody there? Study the one time that this word is used in all the Bible. And King James is exactly right. And King James. Study. Doesn't say sleep on it, osmosis, scan it, look at 2 or 3 verses of Wake Maybe and throw it back up on the shelf, of which I've done all those things. It didn't work too well, but I did do them. I did try. Back up my neck, because it wasn't quite as high as the pillow. Yeah. Study to show thyself approved unto God. So you can be approved unto God. Guess what also you can be? Not approved. It's something to look at. A workman that needeth not be ashamed. Well, you can also be ashamed and be on study this thing rightly, which we're going to get to in a moment. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Jim, where are we going after this? Very good. Second name, Jim. I like him. Ephesians 1 and 13. Very familiar territory in here. For those that are rightly dividing and those that are dispensationally putting things where they belong. Ephesians 1 and 13. In whom ye also trusted, after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. That's one of the things that happened immediately the moment you believed.
Amen.
You believe it? You believe that the Holy Spirit has sealed you?
Yes.
You believe the Holy Spirit is dwelling in you?
Yes.
How do you know?
It says so.
Do you feel it? He's absolutely right. He got to the answer before. You don't necessarily feel this thing, but sometimes you feel a conviction go on.
When you really feel it, I think you're trying to spread it to others and give it to others.
I do believe you will feel good about things. I do feel you'll be convicted about things that maybe you should be doing. But the reason why you know is because it's in that book. We don't live by feelings. We live by what's in that book. That is the truth in that book, particularly when we rightly divide it. Of course, that book is all true. Don't get me wrong. It's just there's some things in there doctrinally that we're only going to get to dig out of Paul's epistles. Because he is our apostle. Go ahead.
You got in verse 14. The matter is verse 13. Once you're sealed, what happens?
Go ahead and read it aloud.
Okay, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the first possession. We're sealed. It's a down payment for when he comes to get us.
He's
set you aside.
Until we're raptured up there, we're caught away, we get up there into the clouds and we get our new body. The Holy Spirit will stay on us. It's a stamp that we belong to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And nobody can take it away from us.
Like your branded cow. Yeah, we're sealed.
Yeah. Now, we can't see it. Others can't see it. But you know who can see it?
Yeah.
God, Jesus, Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is there. He is dwelling in me and He is sealing me. Absolute guarantee.
It's a guarantee of eternal security.
Absolutely.
You need it.
Right on. Go ahead, Jim.
What do we enjoy now that we didn't enjoy in years past?
Well, I would go to Colossians 2 and 10. That's kind of where Jim likes to live at, that we're complete in Him.
Did it say that anywhere else in any of the other scriptures?
No, it says endure to the end. Those guys got to keep working and doing the right thing and not messing up and sacrificing and all that other stuff that goes with being in other dispensations. And those other dispensations are not available today anyways. They're not available. They will be after we're out of here, but right now, even if you wanted to do that, those are not available. So just, we're going to go there, have a good time, and leave the mess. And from here, where are we going? 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4? 1
through 4.
All right, that sounds like a good idea.
Next up.
I'm glad you insisted. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. So in 13 where it said the gospel of your salvation, we're going to that gospel of salvation. And it's sitting right in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. Now it's all over Paul's epistles. This is just one place where it's very concise and easy to see. I go here first. Make it easy for yourself before you start spreading your wings. Moreover, brethren, you've heard me say this before, Paul always writes to believers. Now, it may be about themselves, it may be about other believers, it may be about other unbelievers. It could be about all kinds of things, but he always writes to believers. So when you see his writing, understand he's writing to believers. Well, how does that get people saved? Well, most people don't pick up the Bible and get saved. Other people tell them what the gospel is, and if the Holy Spirit has convicted them, well, guess what? They may be at a point where they get to make that decision. And even if the Holy Spirit convicts you, guess what? You still retain free will to choose. He will not take away your free will to choose. though he wants everybody to be saved, we talk about it often in 1 Timothy 2 and 4. It's about getting people saved, and he would like all men, all women, all children to be saved and then come to the knowledge of truth. So we're doing a little bit of this, a little bit of hopefully getting people saved here in an internet land, and also edifying. 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4. Moreover, brother, I declare unto you the gospel. That's pretty clear, isn't it? I declare unto you the gospel. There's a lot of other gospels in this Bible, by the way. It's not just one big gospel that started back in Genesis 3:15 and went all the way to the end of Revelations. That is not true. There are lots of other ones. There's the kingdom gospel. You know, you can name maybe 14 or 15 of them, Byron, that you've been able to ferret out.
Say that again.
Probably 14 or 15 other gospels that are out there. Gospel of Jesus Christ.
I think there's seven.
Seven?
No, I'm sorry, 11.
11? That sounds like a good number. But there's more than one. Oh, I thought you had a question. I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. He's going to take this belief to trust by these words here. Wherein you stand in that gospel, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. And here it comes. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. And who did you receive it from? The resurrected heavenly Jesus Christ. That's exactly where you got it from. That Christ died for our sins. Nobody knew that before this happened. That is not taught anywhere. They knew that he died. They knew that he was crucified. They knew that he was buried. They knew that he was resurrected. But they didn't understand this bit, that it took care of sins. And it was only revealed to Paul. How Christ died for our sins according to Scripture, and he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That is the gospel. It's not add baptism to it. It's not speak in tongues. It's not swing from the chandeliers. It's not... those were under different programs. Those are not available today for us. Though I did do a lot of those things, and they seemed fun at the time, and they like it. Time for some truth. Well, come on in.
I'm trying to picture the swinging from the chandelier.
Yeah.
Come on in.
There you go. Get some seats over there and just make yourself comfortable. Might even be something back there eating if you're something sweet.
It's a summer podcast, you are.
Good.
All right.
Pull some of these chairs around. Yeah.
Okay. So this gospel that Paul was preaching to these folks in Corinth was that Jesus Christ died for your sins. Already happened. And we know it was by the cross, not at the cross. And that he was buried. And that he was resurrected on the third day. And because of that, we are justified. One took care of the sin problem. The justification said, you know what? I'm going to take away your sins as if you've never sinned before. So now God looks down and sees you and goes, he is just as righteous as Jesus Christ himself. And me. He looks down. All he sees is the full payment that Jesus Christ already paid. Now, have I mentioned anything that you had to do to get there?
No.
It's here and here. It's all about believing, trusting, and having faith that Jesus Christ, what he did, paid the full amount. You don't have to do it. Go ahead, Jim.
What was my gospel prior to this as a Gentile? What gospel message was available today before this message was given to Paul?
The king was the kingdom gospel.
Did Christ send them out to, he says, go ye into the Gentiles?
No.
Go ye not?
For you have no gospel.
Yes. Absolutely. He's referring
to this message. We have no hope of salvation. This is it.
Just for a second, let's go over to Matthew 10, 5 and 6. This wasn't on the path, but, you know, this happens occasionally. Okay, it happened all the time. Matthew 10, and this may be a little strange to some folks because most of our messages come out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and other churches. I know. I've been there. And they're good stories. And they're true. And they're what Jesus Christ was doing here on the earth before he went to heaven. Matthew 10, let's start at 5 and go through 6. These 12, these would be the disciples, Peter and the other 11. Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, "Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel."
What?
You wasn't going to stop and see me if I was in need? Well, we got two unusual examples where he did that, but other than that, it was only for the lost sheep of Israel. And those other two only fit in because they were following after Genesis 12 and 3. "I will bless them that bless you, and I will curse them that curse you." And he's referring to Abraham. Matthew 15, somewhere around 24, maybe a little bit before that, a little bit below that. Let's go ahead and start at 21. "And Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him," that being Jesus, "saying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David.'" She called him, "O Lord." That's important. "Thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." "But he answered her not a word." That's not very nice. I thought he was nice to everybody that needed something. "But he answered not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, 'Send her away.'" Really? These 12 were following after him, and they want to send her away? "For she cried after us. But he," that Jesus, "answered and said, 'I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel.'" You know, I didn't see those things until recently. Matter of fact, I'd say they probably weren't taught. But she went on further. She understood how to be saved during that particular time, and she goes on to say it. "Then came she and worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, help me.' But he answered and said, 'It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs.'" Yes, the Gentiles were the dogs. Might I like to say the wild dogs. "And she said, 'Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table.'" She is putting it in perspective. Who was being worked on that time? The lost sheep of Israel. She was working through the "bless him and thou'll be blessed," or "curse him and you will be cursed." "Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour." Now, one more while we're there. John 4:22, maybe? I'm guessing here. Let's see if I got that right. Okay, it's the woman at the well. Let's start at 21 and 22. John 4, verse 21 and 22. Have we gotten to those things yet that happen the moment you believe? Well, one of them, right?
Yeah. Thank you.
All right.
Mark
10. "Jesus saith unto her," this is the woman at the well, "Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what we know, what we worship, for salvation is of the Gentiles." It's not there. That's not how it worked. the work you had to go through Israel. There was a program was set up back in Genesis 12 and 3, and you could take a look at it. And that was still in effect when Jesus Christ was in his earthly ministry. Do you want to go to your favorite verse that really smacked you in the head? Okay. Since she insisted, 2 Corinthians 2 and 16. 2 Corinthians. I'm sorry, did I say 5? 2 Corinthians 5 and 16. And it's our apostle today, and we know that by Romans 11 and 13. It says, wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. It's because he's in heaven. And the only way we can talk to him, to pray to him, is spiritually and in what's in this book. This is how we know Bob. He's not on the earth today showing us what we should or shouldn't do. He's in heaven right now. As I said earlier in 1 Timothy 2 and 4, God, the will of God is that all men be saved. He doesn't just have people, not just the Gentiles. He wants everybody, and it's open not only to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles. Primarily, it's been mostly Gentiles for the last 2,000 years. Good enough in that area?
Yeah.
All right, let's see if I can get back on track. Yeah, good luck here. Okay, so we read over 1 Corinthians 15, 1 and 4. One more time, this is the gospel. This is what saves. Jesus Christ died for your sins. It's already been done. Buried, resurrected on the third day. If you believe that, you trust that, you have faith in that, guess what? You're going to heaven. And there's nothing you can do about it. Unless you start adding some extra stuff. That's not what it's about. Go ahead, Jim.
The part where he says, all will see me, like our past sins, our current sins.
All. We're going to get there. We're going to get there.
Well, to clarify, everybody, we could be complete if that had not.
All right, well, I'm not going to get done with it. Hey, let's go to Colossians 2. Well, there's always that hope thing. Colossians 2. Let's jump down to 13. That's kind of interesting. If you go through Colossians 1, 2, and 3, around verse 13, there's going to be this issue of forgiveness of sins. So if you just remember Colossians 1, 2, 3, and around verse 13, that's an easy way to remember great verses on what sins you have left and how sin gets forgiven. 13. And you being dead in your sins, which each and every one of us were the moment we popped out of our mother's womb. That's how it works. Thank you, Adam. That's just how it works. But you know what? Adam had it. He was good to go. He was walking in the cool of the afternoon. He lost it. We were lost to start with, and then we got it. It's no wonder the angels look at us and go, how did they get that? 1 Corinthians 6, if you want to read more about that. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, that he quickened together, made alive, quickened together with him, having forgiven you, how many, Jim?
All.
Not just the ones that happened before you decided to believe. All. He went to the cross and died for all of your sins. Not just part of them. All of them. Does it feel like
what about the one I'm going to do tomorrow?
Well, unfortunately, I'm going to be doing one tomorrow. I'm going to be doing one today. If I could only... There you go. Just one. Why go for one? Now, should we be out there sinning willy-nilly? God forbid. We shouldn't be doing that, but guess what? Each time I sin, you know what happens to grace? Grace gets bigger. You cannot limit grace. It doesn't matter how bad you are. Now, most of us don't get worse. we tend to get better. I call it the rear view mirror thing. I'm in the car, I'm looking in the rear view mirror, and I'm seeing what Jesus Christ did for me.
Amen.
What he did to go to that cross. What he suffered on that cross. God's back being turned to him while he was on that cross. It was 3 days, 3 nights that he spent down in hell for me. And his resurrection, all he had to go through. He didn't have to do that, but it was the only way. It was the only way to save us. And now, the last 2,000 years, we've living in the best possible period to get saved. You know why? Because you don't work for it. You simply believe it, trust it, and have faith that what Jesus Christ was the full measure, the full payment.
Free gift.
Absolute free gift?
Free gift.
Is it free gift?
Amen.
We're going to get to that verse. We get to that.
Okay.
That's in Romans 6 and 23, if you find yourself down there. So, continuing on 14. After he forgave you all trespasses, and that's currently you in your body today. That's not when you get to heaven. That is right now. Or at the moment that you actually trusted. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way and nailed it to his cross. You're not under law. You're not under ordinances. You're not under any of those things anymore. You're just under grace. Now, does he leave us things that we should do to help out our walk while we're down there? Absolutely. For whatever reason, God decided that the only way that somebody could ever hear the gospel was to hear from a human being. Now, the Holy Spirit's job is to convict. It's our job, if we're there and we decide to do it, to share with them what the gospel is. That's our biggest job down here, is to share the gospel with others. And, of course, edification of those that come to believe. All right. Back to the lesson plan. Romans 4, 24 and 25. This was after we discussed what happened with the gospel. So after he died for our sins, he was buried and resurrected on the third day. We like to also say about this justification, which also, by the way, was something that happened instantly the moment that you believed it, you trusted it. I put 24 on there. That raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, 25, who was delivered, that being Jesus, for our offenses, and was raised again for our justification. As if you've never, ever sinned. Even though down in this body, guess what you're doing? You're still sinning. But positionally, you're at the right hand of the Father. You are with the Beloved right now at the right hand of the Father. You currently have, your permanent address is at the right hand of the Father. You're just down here for us military types for TDY. Draw the point. Moving along.
Glory, I like that.
Well, that makes sense to military folks. Maybe the non-military folks, you've gone on a vacation somewhere. But it's not your real home. This is not your real home.
Just
I hate to think this was all. High five? High five. That's your signal for 5 minutes left. So, one of the first things I'm going to cover, we covered a few things. Go to Colossians. Oh, we already covered. Sins are forgiven. That was in 13 and 14. Ephesians 1 and 7. Ephesians 1 and 7. This is also covering forgiveness of sins. In whom we have redemption through his blood. That was his death on the cross. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Sins. Sins. That's for Sylvia. How would you say that in German? Sins. Okay, we didn't practice this part. You get 1 minute to think about it. All right, let's move over to Ephesians 2, 8, 9, one chapter to the right. We have access to God's grace. This is another thing that happened immediately upon the moment. Actually, you have it as you're being saved, but now you have it. And it's yours, and you can't get rid of it. We have access to God's grace. Ephesians 2:8-9. These are the two verses I got saved on. Because when I read it, and the other ones were lip syncing it in that Bible study, I was like, oh man, I like this. Everybody seems to know it. Everybody's lip syncing it. Well, first of all, I had the wrong Bible. I had an NLT, so my Bible didn't say what their Bible said. But it said, for by grace are ye saved through faith. Ooh, I like that. That was good. And that not of yourself. Uh-oh. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I said, hold on. I have been watching a lot of pastors going to a lot of churches, and they said there were things I had to do. Well, read this very carefully. You can't do anything. You can only believe it, trust it, and have faith in it. And it's right here. And this didn't happen overnight. He said, you need to go back and read your scriptures because you're not under the law. And I would go back and I'd read it. It took several months. And finally, I came back, and the last one I finally peeled off, he said, I got it. For by grace are ye saved. Grace, Jesus Christ already paid for. He paid the full measure on the cross. He was buried. He was resurrected. Through faith. That not yourselves. It is a gift to God. Well, you know what? If you get a gift, do you give that back to the giver?
You have to pay for it, it wasn't free.
A gift. So you get a gift at Christmas, it's yours, right?
Yeah.
Somebody, well, I need her. No. A gift is a gift. It is a gift waiting for you through grace by believing in what His Son already did for you. Not of works. But God's busy. You got a lot of big things going on. I got to take care of some little stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Open the door, shaking hands, in and out towels. Done it all. And I actually liked it. I actually enjoyed it. But I'm not under the law. Now, that doesn't keep you from if you want to support. It's just you decide on how you feel. How you're compelled to give of your time, your talent, your treasures. It's not dictated. It's not strong-armed. It's not under the law anymore. It's what you decide. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Are you telling me there's not going to be anybody in heaven just boasting how they got there and how much work they did?
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, there's not going to be a boast. We're going to be so darn thankful that He took care of all that because there was no way we were going to make it. There was no way we were going to make it.
Amen.
And He knew that. There wasn't one person, normal person, I'm not talking the God, man, in one body. I'm talking about regular. There wasn't one that was going to make it. I guess she's giving me her watch after we She is so very nice to me. Romans 5:20. We'll do that. One more scripture and we'll wind this thing down. I was glad I got to this one. This is one of my favorite verses. Romans 5:20. So if you think you're saved and you've done something that is so bad that you somehow have lost your salvation, take a read of this verse. Just take a look at it. It'll put everything back in perspective. Moreover, the law entered. Well, we all know about the law, right? That the offense might abound. So God gave the law so that the offense would get worse? Absolutely. That law couldn't save a person. Still, it has not saved anybody to this day. The law hasn't saved a single person. And the only one that was able to follow that law was Jesus Christ. But where sin abounded, and it does abound some days, doesn't it? Grace did much more abound. You cannot limit grace. Grace is infinite. You cannot put a limit on grace today. If you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins, and He was buried, and He was resurrected on the third day, you're going to heaven. It's done. He has done everything. Now, He has more for you to do down here, because if it were the case, He would have just snapped you up and took you up to heaven after that, right? Well, as we know, we're ambassadors today, and we're sharing that gospel with other folks. I guess we're going to end this on Ephesians 4 and 30. This is yet something else here. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit, which we talked a little bit earlier on Ephesians 1 and 13. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. So you can grieve this guy that's sealing you and is dwelling inside of you? Well, absolutely. Does it take away your salvation? No. That's what I call the conviction, though. I really shouldn't be doing that. Whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. The day of redemption is the rapture. It's the great calling out. It's the day when the final Gentile gets saved, Romans 11:25, and the body of Christ is taken out of here. First, the dead, they're taken up there, that are asleep in Him, are taken up and given their new bodies. And those of us that are alive, which I think we're getting very close, are called up, and we are converted on the way up and out of here. We will not be here for the tribulation. I wouldn't recommend it to anybody. I mean, if you're thinking about it, it sure is easy to get saved today, and it will not be easy or even, in most cases, possible during those 7 years. So, I guess we'll be doing part two. Does anybody have anything?
See, I still got that problem about that body thing, you know. I heard last week Brian talking about it, and I still got that problem. I worked hard for this one.
Well, what did you look like when you were about 30 or 33?
You will get over it,
though. Did you look like that when you were about 30 or 33?
Oh, yeah, I worked hard.
Did you look better?
No.
Are you sure?
I look better now.
Are you sure?
I look better now.
Ask Oma about that one.
I said, don't make him lie.
Well, I know I'm forgiven.
my thought is, and it says in 3 and 21, who shall change our vile body, mm-hmm. and your body is vile body.
Yes, it is.
It may look like you're working on pretty hard. That it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, Jesus' body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself.
Yeah.
I understand what it says there.
Yeah,
are we all going to be in our 30s?
We're
definitely not going to have any what in our bodies, Tony? There won't be any blood in there. Bone and flesh. The Spirit will be chugging through our veins. We don't have no need. We won't get sick anymore. Anyways, I thank you for your time.
Let's take a break. We'll be back at 11 o'clock.